Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we have actually a special guest, someone who responded to our announcement on Sunday that we were looking for more guests.
I know. We actually got three, I think, or two for sure, maybe a potential third. So I'm like, wow, we got to do that more often.
Yeah, we need to make sure that we're announcing during service to people that we are looking for guests. But someone who responded to the call, actually someone who's relatively new to our church. He's been coming since the middle of September with his family and his brother's family. Welcome to the show for the first time, Richard. Welcome, Richard.
I'm glad to be here.
we're excited to have you on. So would you like to give us a little bit of an intro since you are relatively new to our church? Help some of our listeners to get to know a little bit about who you are.
All right. Been living in Long Beach for, most of my life. Mm-hmm. So was always kind of in and out of church a lot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like coming into your guys' ministry is interesting because we were kind of always going to the same type of ministry. Mm-hmm. Like we've been in for many years. Like I was going to church for like 9 years. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of always in and out of like that ministry. Like I never really like kind of had a good foundation. Mm-hmm. But when I had moved back into Long Beach, like I got, you know, rededicated my life back to Christ. So I started we just started from ground zero. Mm. So I'm about, I'm 44 years old, man.
Woo-hoo!
You know, just turned 44 in August.
Young guy.
Yeah, man.
I turned 50 this year, so you're young.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's a good, you know, it's a good journey so far. Yeah. It's a good journey, man. There's a lot of like, you could see God's hand just kind of showing over my life and stuff like that. So it's really interesting.
You and your brother both came for the first time, right? And then you brought your families later too.
Yeah. So what we had decided to do, because we had left the ministry we were at, and what we decided to do, because we drove around one Sunday. Mm. And what we were doing was we were like, dude, we're just going to look for another church. Mm. Like, so we went driving around all Long Beach, Lakewood, Bellflower. Like we were literally like stopping in front of churches, like looking at their address, looking at the area. And then we were looking at what they like their core beliefs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what we were doing was that we were just wanting to find a Bible believing church that was going to, you know, we weren't looking for like exact same thing, but we were looking for God to give us a place where we could grow. Mm-hmm. So in doing that, we just spent a few hours just driving around. I was in my brother's work car. We were just driving around, you know, and because I couldn't drive yet. So he was driving and, you know, it kind of hurt to be in the car. So we're just driving around and we went, you know, we actually went to Buena Park. We went to Bellflower, Lakewood, and then we stopped in Long Beach. Mm. And we didn't find anything. Mm. We were just like kind of highlighted a few places that we thought that might be good, you know, because they had some good core beliefs. But as we were looking through the websites, like none of them really put down what their core beliefs were, like what they believed in. Mm. And we were kind of disappointed because we were like, dude, like, well, doesn't they want to know like people to know what they believe in? Because it's, you know, you're a church, your community church, right?
So websites do matter, huh?
I do. They do.
That's good.
You know, they do. Well, they should, because
sometimes we wonder, like, well, how much time should we put into it? And then sometimes we forget about it. So, yeah.
Man, because
good reminder.
Yeah. So, and then, like, we ended up didn't, like, we kind of just left it at that, you know, the day. So on that Sunday, like, I was kind of sitting down in my room and I was just kind of watching TV. And my brother sent me your guys' website. Mm. And he was like, hey, just, you know, kind of go through it and see what you think. He's like, let me know. And I was like, okay, for sure. So that's when I pulled up the YouTube. Mm. And I was like, I'm going to see what they're preaching, because, like, this is something that, you know, I want to get my family into something. So I didn't want to just, you know, just land in a place and then land in another one and then land in another one. Yeah. And we were really praying for God to give us a place that we need to be, that he's going to be. Mm. So what we did was I went through the message, and Pastor Barry spoke on 1 John. Mm. And I was just like, I was flabbergasted. Like, I was like, man, this is great. I was like, man, I text Tony right away. I text my brother. I was like, dude, you got to see this, man. This is off the hook right here, man. This is what I'm talking about. And he checked it out. And then he goes, man, he goes, I listened to the message. And he goes, man, they teach really well. And he's like, man, they're really about it. Like, so he goes, you want to go ahead and go visit? And I was like, let's go. Let's go. Cool. Let's go see. Let's go see. So we kind of just put our minds together. And he's like, well, instead of just taking the kids, he's mm-hmm. like, yeah. we need to go really see. Mm-hmm. You know, I was telling you about, yeah. you know, my brother, like, you know, he's a real, like, he's a thinker, you yeah. know? So he's like, we really need to go see. So we're going to kind of leave the kids at home mm-hmm. and then we're going to go and check it out. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, that's fair. I was like, we could do that. Mm. You know, so I had my daughter kind of watch the two boys. And then my brother, his wife now, mm-hmm. Kids were being watched by their grandma or whatever. And then we came.
Yeah.
And, like, my brother Anthony was crying. Mm. Like, he was crying. And, like, we sat there in a service, and I was just like, dude, like, you could feel the presence of God in the room, mm. in the sanctuary. Like, it wasn't anything that was manufactured, mm. but it made enough for us to go and talk to Pastor Barry, because we weren't going to say mm. anything. Mm-hmm. Like we just wanted to kind of come, and we were going to stay under the radar. Mm. So that was kind of our plan, mm. you know? And then, so my brother comes up to me, and he's like, dude, you want to go talk to the pastor? And I was like, yeah, I guess. I'm down. Like, let's go. Like, you know, because what we needed to do was, we came under kind of such heavy circumstances that mm. We didn't want to just show up in a church and then just drop everything on the ministry or drop anything on the pastor. Like, you know, we were really, like, kind of just trying to stay under the radar. Mm-hmm. We didn't want anybody to know anything. So, but he just, like, was like, let's go talk to the pastor. And he went over there and talked to Pastor Barry, and mm-hmm. he pulled us in the office, mm-hmm. and we began to kind of just unpack mm-hmm. everything for our two families.
Yeah, I think I know there's a lot behind that story, so that maybe yeah. in the future we can unpack some of that. But I know Pastor Barry was super appreciative of you guys and your forthrightness of just being honest and wanting to kind of honor our ministry by not just, yeah, like you said, just dumping and bringing stuff that we weren't aware of. But I know he was really appreciative of that first reach out that you guys did. But I kind of wanted to, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to shift into what we talked about before we started recording, because then coming to our church, God highlighted something to you that, oh, this is different than the ministry you came from. So I thought it'd be kind of cool, even for our people that normally listen or attend, just to hear, like, what was it that was different when you started coming to Catalyst? Like, what stood out to you?
Well, one of the things was, it's the way you guys operate is different, mm-hmm. you know, kind of, I don't want to say free spirited, because that's kind of like, kind of weird, but
it can be taken that way.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. cause that's not what the word of God says. But yeah. one of the things though is, like, you guys let the Spirit operate mm-hmm. freely. Mm-hmm. And it's not in a way that you would think, like, hey, like, they're super charismatic. Mm-hmm. That's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. What I mean is, like, you guys allow God to minister to the heart. And by that, it's word of God. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, when you guys bring across, like, you know, last Sunday, like, you guys brought Pastor Robert in from, mm-hmm. you know, from, and the thing was, it was like the way he ministered, like, he ministered to the heart, mm-hmm. even though, like he said, he was
he's a
theologian at heart,
he's
right?
He's a philosopher.
He's a philosopher, yeah. yeah. So he's like, you know, he's a thinker,
yeah.
you know. So, but he allowed God to minister in a way that would draw you out and lead you in a direction that you need to go. Mm-hmm. You know, he allowed God to minister to your heart, not something that really kind of just felt good, mm. but that was a byproduct of what he was ministering about. Mm-hmm. So saying all that to say this is like, we're not used to that. Mm-hmm. We're not used to that. And everything that we came from is you're taught on structure. You're taught on, you're supposed to do this. And then this is the effect that it has when you do that.
Yeah.
Right. But it's first being like, you're being led to do that. And then you get the permission to do it. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of structure you come from.
Yeah. That's what you came from in the previous ministry.
Yeah. That's kind of like, it's coming to a new ministry that operates different. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys allow the children to be free in God's house. Mm-hmm. You know, that was one of the things too. We were like, oh my God, dude, there's kids everywhere. Like, this is crazy. Like,
It can be. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? The next service, like Pastor Barry was like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know? And what he told me, he goes, what do you do when you're at home? I go, I let him run around. Mm-hmm. He goes, you're in the Father's house. Mm-hmm. He goes, why not? Let them be free in God's house. Mm. And I was like, I was blown away. I was like, man, dude, like, it's okay. Like, I still struggle with it. But, you know, because what we're taught from the ministry we come in, it's like, hey, like, you don't want your children to be a distraction to the other people in service, which is true. That's not a bad thing.
Right.
But the kids, too, miss out that they're enjoying church.
Right.
And I think, like, that's where you kind of find out that, like, it's okay to be open. Yeah. Like, it's okay, you know, to operate different. You don't have to do things a certain way because God does not do everything the same way every time.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm learning that in your guys' ministry, too.
Like, yeah, we operate in that tension, right, Damon? Because we operate in the other part of having that, some of the structure and respect and not being a distraction. So the freedom is good, and so freedom is one of our values. Spirit-led is one of our values, our core values. But along with that, then, yeah, there's another side that we have to learn to balance with. So, yeah, no, it's cool that you picked up on those values of ours.
When we were prepping, one of the things that you shared about was that you felt like the Lord was leading you to have an open heart with some of these new things. Can you kind of dive a little bit deeper into that, what that looks like?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the things that we're kind of drawing on was, I know I talked about a little bit about the structure and stuff like that, but being like kind of just spirit led is something kind of like, how should I say, like, we know that that's kind of Christian lingo. Mm-hmm. You know, being, I'm led by the Spirit. I feel this, or I hear this, or this and that. But the way you guys operate in your ministry is kind of like allowing us to realize, like, well, one of the things that you guys are teaching, like, is your identity in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to us, like, we haven't really, like, been taught that. That's something we would learn at home. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is, like, we're seeing you guys operate in that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to be different. You keep an open heart. And that's where, like, God is helping me in a new ministry. And in our ministry now is great because, like, I'm seeing the not only just, like, God operating, but you see God's people, like, operating in love. Like, you know, that was one of the things that we were just like, dude, these are such nice people. Like, everyone is so nice. Like, you know, they actually took the time out of their Sunday to come and sit down with us and talk to us. You know, we've had a few people, like, you know, what do we just have? The generation service, right?
Oh, the lunch at the sports basement.
Yeah, man, that was great.
That was fun, huh?
That was great, man. Like, you know, I'm playing pickleball. I don't know what that is. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know. I never played pickleball before, but they invited me to go play. Like, you know, that was nice. You know, I'm used to playing basketball, you know, but, you know, I'm getting old now, but, you know, so, but.
Damon's a basketball player.
Yeah, so, you're a ball player.
And well, he has been.
There might be some things in the works for a basketball evening something, so keep your eyes and ears peeled for I can't say too much, but some things might be working behind the scenes for a basketball night. Okay, sorry. Sorry to cut you off. Keep going.
No, no, you're good, man. You're good. So keeping an open heart to where, like, it doesn't have to be a certain direction or a certain way, you know. And I love the fact that Pastor Barry, and I know he could have it that way and it wouldn't be bad, but he's constantly rotating, having, you know, people come in and minister. But he's going along the same series and making sure that, hey, that they're ministering to what God put on his heart. You know, and to me, like, that's awesome. Because every single time, like, we've been in First John, like, we've actually came out of the service different. And I'm talking about, like, thinking about the questions that are posted, like, you know, thinking about the direction that they're going with the message and stuff like that. So, and we're like, I'm like just blown away. Like, I'm like, dude, like practical, simple, you know, but God is going to reveal more to you than just what's in front of you. You know, that's just what God does, you know? So that's kind of like, you know, being, keeping an open heart and, you know, in our ministry now, cause it's like, it is new. It is new. But God's saying, look, it's okay. Like, it's okay. Like, what they're teaching is the word of God. Because I'll go back and I'll listen to it. I'll read it, you know, study, you know what I mean? Like, kind of just, you know, think about what it is for that week that we need to work on. And it's always has just so far it's been right on. So we're excited.
Cool.
You know, so that's kind of where God has been having me, like, at this point in time, especially, you know, on my heart, especially this week. So it's been really neat, man. I just really, like, can't wait for more. Like, one of the other things that God has been giving to me in my heart is, like, just a hunger for more. Like, more. Because before I was afraid. Because you don't know what you're getting into. And I think that's part of what God is doing. Like, he's showing me. Sorry, that was my breakfast. You know, so it's kind of what God is showing me. Like, one, that it's okay. You know, and then he's reestablishing a hunger, you know, so I think, like, that's where it's important, you know, God's like, keep an open heart, you know, and then God's like, I'm going to give this to you because I want you to learn. I want you to continue to grow where you're at, you know, so.
It's good. It's interesting thinking of kind of back to when you started coming. You've heard, like, five or maybe six different voices on Sunday morning. So, yeah, I mean, Pastor Barry's been up there a few times, but yeah, we've definitely in this series, he brought in more voices. And some of it is, you know, it's shouldering the load with him. But then some of it's to try and raise up and build up new people to be able to step into those roles. So,
oh, yeah, definitely. I think, like, that's great because one of the things is too is like, and the ministry came from too, like, hey, like, it was the same way.
Yeah.
You know, that's where, like, you know, my brother was, like, one, like, he used to preach, yeah. You know, he first, you know, he's always kind of been, like, the pastor's, like, you know, right-hand man.
Yeah.
And I was in that way, too, like, kind of being raised up, like, you know, hey, like, I was starting to preach more, starting to preach more often, so it was, like, I was studying more, like, trying to read more. So it was, like, I understand that whole, like, you know, build that discipleship, so, you know, one day, they're going to be able to take things over in the ministry. Like, that's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this last Sunday was a different voice. So Pastor Robert, we usually have him speak a couple times a year, but he when he's in the States, Catalyst is his home church, but he's in Cambodia at least like 6 months out of the year. And then Korea sometimes, and then he's here. So it was good. You gotta hear him. And so I thought, yeah, we could jump into a little bit of that part. What do you think, Damon?
Okay, I'll give something that stood out to me from Pastor Roberts, which Richard wouldn't know, but I was a little disappointed on Sunday because so Pastor Robert is known for different sayings, and one of his sayings is there's two kinds of people in the world, and then he'll give there's, you know, someone that listens to our podcast or someone that doesn't listen to our podcast, right?
Or someone that's run marathons and he takes out like 18 medals. He's run like 18 marathons, and then those that haven't run a marathon. And so then it's like he's Yeah. So when he does that phrase, people start laughing usually.
Yeah, because they're anticipating it. Yeah. So the more you hear him, the more you'll hear some of his phrases. But I was a little disappointed because Pastor Robert didn't use his
his trademark.
There's two kinds of people in the world. So it's he uses it so much that we actually made a T-shirt with his face on it that said that on the bottom of the T-shirt.
Wow.
Yeah, there's two kinds of people.
So it was kind of funny this week because one of the people at church that has that shirt wore it to church on Sunday. Like, that's a good day to wear that shirt. And then he didn't even use it.
But he's
Did he notice it? Do you guys know?
I don't know.
I don't know if he noticed it, but
yeah. I noticed he left kind of quick on Sunday though too.
Yeah, they had somewhere else to get to.
Yeah, poor guy, man. Because I was all running after him after service because I wanted to go like shake his hand. You know, I was like, dude, this guy is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then he was already downstairs out the door. I was like, I'll come back upstairs.
I mean, so we're actually really blessed. He's actually a pretty big wig in the international community and the Korean community and stuff like that. Like he's a big name. And when he first started coming, I think Barry knew him a little bit, like secondhand from, because of somebody else that knew him. But really we forgot to know, like, oh man, he's such a nice guy. His wife is so special too. Like they're such great people that it's such a blessing when they're actually here in the States. It's so great for our church that they're around. So
his wife was the one that got up, right?
And started praying,
right? Yeah. He was like, I forewarn you. Yeah. And dude, she was right on, man. Yeah. She was right on, man. You could just tell. Like, I was like, oh my God. Like, dude, my wife was just like crying, bro. Like, you know, and she's just like, you know, and it was powerful because she was praying for her.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, so it was neat, man.
And I think that's something that's really special about when they minister is that they minister together, right? And just shows his heart for his family that they're able to minister together pretty regularly. I mean, that's not an unusual occurrence for him to preach and then her to come up and pray. So
that's pretty cool, man. That's neat. But it just shows that, you know, they got the same heart.
Yeah.
You know, they are one flesh. Like they get up there and they minister, you know, so that's neat. Like that, I think that's great.
So he did have some of his trademark humor and sprinkled in. He has those good that dry sense of humor where he'll say stuff and then it's like
we were busting out. We were talking about the Matrix, man. We were dying. Man. I was like, what?
But I thought one at the beginning, I was like, it's so simple. But he's like, yeah, 2/3 of God's name is go. I'm like, hey, what's he talking about? I'm thinking like, what, the Hebrew? And I'm like, oh, G-O. That's all. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, all right. And then he started talking about it. I'm like, oh, it's so funny. It's so simple, but it's like, oh yeah, he doesn't tell us to just come. He tells us to follow, right?
It's
like,
yeah,
he'll just sit at my feet. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's so good with those kind of like something that could be so simple, but then he like brings like a depth or a profoundness. Like, oh yeah, that was so simple, but that hits hard.
That's the philosopher in him.
Yeah,
it's funny. For real. Like I was like, yeah, he does. He's like, Jesus said, follow me. Like you know, he's like, because you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Man, right.
So how about you guys? That was one for me, Damon or Richard. Do you guys have one that stood out to you?
Well, I was just gonna say that 2/3 of God is go, and then you stole it, which is normal. That's not unusual for Kyle to steal my thunder, but.
You got to jump in earlier, okay, man.
How about for you, Richard? I'll think of something else because he did say a lot of different things. So I'll think of something else. Richard, why don't you share what stood out for me?
You could use the Matrix if you want. Well, one of the things that he spoke about on Sunday was he was talking about like how God would minister, you know, and he was talking about that relational conversation that you would have with God, right? So he talked about that. And right there was the highlight right there because he said when he was reading over the passage a few times and he said that freedom spoke to his heart. And he goes, sometimes you're going to have to pray over the message that or what you're reading and allow God to speak to your heart. So you have to have a still mind. One is you're ready to listen. And I was like, dang, that's important, you know? So it's like, don't just have music on. Like, that's where God was kind of telling me, like, don't always have music on because I always have music on all the time. I'm always listening to music. And he's just like, you know, be ready to hear and to listen, you know? So you could tell he's that type of guy where he's ready to listen. So God speaks to his heart. He says the word that God was bringing to his heart was freedom. And that's how he put his message together. You know, so I thought that was, like, really interesting.
And then, I mean, for those that weren't in the service, he actually read the passage, didn't put it up on the screen, asked people just to kind of quiet yourself. And then, like, what is God, like, highlighting to you, right?
And the one thing that God highlighted to me was the word burden. Mm-hmm. And that word was actually in the passage, you know. So God began to kind of just let me think about that for a minute, you know. So I was listening and just like, okay, God, so what is it about this burden like that that's so important? Like, what is it? Like, is it a burden that you're supposed to have for the things of God, or is it a burden that for you? You know what I mean? Because it's in the passage, it's so important that the things of God are not a burden to you, is what the passage
said.
So like that kind of just spoke to my heart like a lot. So like wanting to just do more for God, and then doing things for God is not a burden. You know, your desire to want to do things for God and for his glory shouldn't be like, I feel like I have to do this.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It can be sometimes if you're, if you're approaching it the wrong way. Well, yeah, that, but I mean, but even if you, if you do it in the wrong way, it becomes an, like an unhealthy burden because it's like a performance or an earning or that kind of thing. But
you know what? Yeah. Now that you, you mentioned that, coming from a previous ministry, like my heart was so like tired. Like we were exhausted. Like we were, you know, pioneering ministry. So, like you guys, like in the past, you had to, you know, break down, set up, break down, set up, break down. You know, we were a ministry, like we had this point where we ended, we were in the park. So every Sunday, like we had, you know, Wednesday or Friday at this point, like we were having three services at the park. So, you know, you could imagine like it's a lot of work, you know, and then you have your core, you know, you have your core people that are faithful, that are there all the time, you know, that, you know, minister, that, you know, serve the church and, you know, they're there constantly. So, like, you get tired, and you're like, God, am I supposed to want to do this? Like, you know, you get tired. Like, you do. You know, it's just, it's like a job. It's a job on top of a job, you know, because you're working for the Lord. You're making sure God's people are good. But at the same time, like, you have to maintain your relationship with God, too. You know, so the balance or the unbalance is, sometimes you can come into church and it's not a safe haven for you. It became a job. And that's where the burdensome comes from. So that's where church hurt begins. Because no longer is it a sanctuary where you can come and hide in the presence of God, but it becomes a job or it becomes a work. You know, so that's kind of like where you don't want it ever to become that. You should be able to come, or I should be able to come to you and say, brother, can you pray for me? I'm struggling. You know, so that's important because we need rest, right? Jesus had to go and get rest all the time. Yes, he was God or is God, you know, or, you know, he had to go and connect to the Father. Like he would always take time and go find rest. You know, so coming from a ministry like that, like, I believe, like, that's important. Like, you know, you have to. Like,
for sure.
You necessarily have to. You know, if I need counsel, where am I going to go to find it? You know, does that make sense? Like, you know.
AI?
Yeah. You know.
I mean, nowadays, that's where people are pushed
to.
Yeah,
it's just
easier
if I don't have to. I just look it up and see what they give me.
I'm like, oh my God. Is, you know, this, like, dude, digital Jesus.
Sorry, I don't
like,
want to get us off on a tangent on that one, but I'm just.
God, man. This is bad.
I mean, I think when we were talking beforehand, you'd said that, you know, at our church, one of the things that we talk about a lot is our identity in Christ. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, as our foundation and understanding, you know, what our spirit really wants, and our spirit desires the things of the Lord and our flesh desires the things of the world, right? And so it's, are we going to submit ourselves and what we do to our spirit, which wants to do these things for the Lord, Or are we going to continue to live out of the flesh, which is saying, oh, this is work, this is a job, this is a burden, this is, right? And the enemy's trying to get us to live in the flesh, but the Lord is wanting, saying, no, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And then our perspective and our attitudes will, when we're aligned with our spirit, will be like that. This is my sanctuary. This is the place where I want to come to. I want to be there. I want to grow because I want to, I know who the Lord is. I know who I am in his sight. And all I can do is worship and praise and receive from the people that are around me that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think like that. I think that part right there is really encouraging. Mm. You know, because you see somebody with the same heart. Mm. You'll see somebody with the same desire. Mm-hmm. You know, because it feeds into that fire. It's just like, you know, what does that passage say? In Proverbs, iron sharpens iron, right? Mm-hmm. We know, like, somebody, hey, like, that friction is going to give you something that you need. Mm. You know, it's a tool and a desire that you want. But on the other side of the spectrum, you're looking and you go, man, dude, like, he's on fire. I want that. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to minister like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I want people to hear what God did in my life. Like, mm-hmm. that's important. You know, so that's kind of like, I think, like, you know, something that, you know, it's in my heart's desire mm-hmm. one day, mm-hmm. you know, because I see you guys, you know, who was it? The youth,
Brett.
Yeah. Yeah. He went up there not too long ago either. Yeah.
Yep.
And he ministered really well.
Just so you know, he was usually our third wheel. Like he was, because he did the screen printing stuff that I showed you earlier.
Okay, so he would
be here usually, and so he would be the one on the podcast a lot of times. Mm. Yeah, but yeah, no, Brett's got a unique perspective on life just from his experience, but the way God's shaping his heart and using him, it's really cool.
It's powerful, man. It's powerful, man. I really enjoyed his message and stuff like that too, because and then to know. Like what he does, like he ministers to the youth, mm-hmm. you know? So like, that was great, man. I just thought that was awesome.
Well, I thought like, speaking of that, like before we were recording, you mentioned that word burden, like, and you were wrestling with it, but then it kind of revealed a burden that you have in your own family. And yeah, do you want to share a little bit about that too?
Yeah, sure. One of the things though, was, My concern is for my daughter. Like mm-hmm. she's 14.
Yeah.
Her name's Julie. She's a great kid, man. She's, you know, she's a straight A student. She's, you know, she loves school. Like that's her priority in life right now.
I love seeing her. She's very, her personality. She gives off a great impression. Like she's just a people person. She wants to like, I don't know.
You know what? It's almost scary because it's like she's a split image of me. Mm-hmm. Like, cause I love to engage with people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, that's why I'm like, you know, I was kind of nervous coming here today, but one of the things I was like, dude, I get to like just talk to these guys about, you know, spiritual things.
Yeah.
You know, I love to have a conversation. Like, you know, I love talking and having a good time and stuff like that. Really? No, man. Like, so it was like, man, like, so she's like that. Mm. But you can kind of see now that she's in high school, you kind of see the like the pressure
influences
just like starting to kind of just call her and grab her attention.
For sure.
You know, she's all about, of course, like a teenager would, it's all about friends.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, you know, you kind of look at that and you go, man, I need to direct her in a way that she needs to go because we need a foundation so that she can, you know, that can be built on later on. That's what the Word of God says, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you teach your kids in the way of the Lord so they, you know, when they get old, they will return to it, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. there's a season where they're gonna go through some things.
Right.
You know, so... So my daughter like started bringing some of her kids, you know, not her kids, but her friends to, you know, some kids are bringing them home. Right. Uh-huh. You know, so there's a couple of friends that she, you know, she brought, it's mostly just one friend right now, but she brought another one to the house. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know, so she's in marching band. So she plays like two instruments.
Okay.
So she does the mellow and then she plays the French horn.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yes, dude. And she is so into this thing. Like, you know, and at first I was so indifferent to it because there's no kind of music foundation in my family whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I'm like fighting against it. Like, I'm like, Julie, just go in and shut the door. Like, just go play. Like, you know, we want her to excel. Yeah, like, there's no question about that. Right. But you're just like, dude, I don't want to hear this right now. Like, this is crazy. Like, so she started in seventh grade, and she's been playing ever since. So this is her third year playing it. So, and you could see just her just starting to excel, starting to just love it. So now, so she's playing a similar brass horn. So she's got the mellow now. She's in marching band in high school. So she's kind of going through a couple of things in marching band. And I've been teaching Julie about being a leader, like kind of what it's like to want to be an example, you know. And the whole situation started kind of just playing out where she was kind of dealing with one of her teammates in the marching band, and they were having a bunch of issues. And I don't know if I should kind of get into that, but the whole thing was about her. She was like, she wasn't being a leader. And her leader was kind of going through some hard thing. She was kind of having a lot of emotional issues. She, you know, she colored hair. Like, she's just kind of just, you know, going through some heavy things that you see, you know, in teenagers nowadays. You know, it's all identity thing, you know. So, and I was just like, you know, kind of like, Julie was coming home and she's upset and she's frustrated, you know, and she's like, this girl is just not doing her job. And I'm like, well, what's going on? And she's like, she's not focusing. She's not helping me when I need help. She's not doing what she needs to do. And she's angry. She's upset. And I'm like, okay. You know, I found myself kind of getting upset too, because I'm like, you know, I'm listening to Julie and I'm just like, man, like, dude, like, this is dumb. You know, like, why isn't this girl doing what she's supposed to? You know, like, you know, and it's like misleading Julie. Like, you know, I'm thinking about my daughter, like, you know, because what it is, it's not so much like the teachers just kind of, you know, teach the marching band and then they go in, they do a routine, and then it's not like that. It's student ran. So the way it works is for each section, there's a team leader. And I kind of started thinking, Julie was at school and I was kind of just in the house and I'm thinking about this kid. And I start to, like, she needs help. You know, we've talked about this. Me and my wife were like, dude, like, she, like, needs help. Like, we want to pray for her. So we started praying for this kid. And the thing is, it started kind of setting in motion, like, you know, I want to do, like, kind of an outreach kind of thing to high school students, you know, because I'm trying to reach my daughter at the same time, because it's kind of like, how do I go about doing something like this, you know? So she's bringing her friends over and stuff like that. So she's just kind of like, you know, she's been coming.
But that, that burden you have is because there's influences coming at her, and you're trying to, you're wanting the Lord's influence to be in her life, and there's this like competing and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. So what the thing is, though, so what I wanted to do was, I was like, man, like, how can I reach my daughter but reach these kids? So I kind of came up with an idea. So I was like, why not try to minister to the kids that she brings? If she, if the door's open for a certain one of her friends to come in, then why not, like, while you're eating dinner, talk to them?
Yeah.
Let her listen to what God is doing for this young lady.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, we started, like, we had dinner one night, and her friend came over, and I was like, hey, like, Julie was telling me that, you know, hey, you're, you know, Julie was telling me your family goes to church, like, you know, and I asked her, like, you know, tell me about that. You know, what is it that you believe? Like, you know, like, and so she started kind of just elaborating on that, like, oh, I have, you know, I believe in certain things in the Bible. Like, I just kind of feel like there's a standard, you know, and she felt in her heart that she goes, she would never measure up. And that's where I kind of just walked through the door. And I was like, man, this is perfect. And I began to minister to her heart through, you're right. That's exactly how it is. We're never going to measure up to God, nor his standard. And I was like, what does the Bible say about Jesus and what he did? And she knew the answer. But I don't think she ever thought of it like that. Mm. So I got to minister to the teenager on her level.
That's mm. cool.
You know, so it was really neat. And she left that day. I go, look, when you go home tonight, I was like, think about it. Think about it. What God had done for you and what it means to you. Mm. And ask God to reveal himself to you. And I guarantee you, you won't never be the same. Because she knew she had a biblical foundation because sure. her mom and her family goes to church.
Right.
But the thing was, it was just like, I don't think like, you know, unfortunately, like there's no like, there shouldn't be a choice in what we teach our children if you're biblically sound. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like
now, I got a high schooler and a soon to be high schooler as well. And so it's a tough one as a parent because you can teach them the right stuff, yet they still have to choose to receive it and own it for themselves. Right. And that's the, for me, I have that burden of, okay, I can't control that. I can't force them.
They got to want it.
Yeah,
they
exactly. Gotta want it. That's yeah. exactly the way to put it. And it's tough. So, no, I resonate with your burden. I mean, how did Julie respond after? I mean, without getting personal, I mean.
But it, you know what? She was apologizing to her friend because she was like, he's going to interrogate you right now. And I was like, well, I was like.
But I'm sure.
I hope it didn't come across like that because. It was just like, it was my heart though, yeah, because yeah. I was like, you know, I want them to know who God is. So if you come to my house, I want them to know like, hey, mm-hmm. like they're in a safe place.
And I'm sure that girl's spirit felt it because it came from the right place. But, you know, in the flesh, it's awkward. It's a teenager, you know, yeah, I get all
it
that.
It was like, she was so sorry. She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, you know.
It sounds like one of my kids would have responded.
Yeah, you know, and. But what's interesting yeah. was like Julie left, the uh-huh. girl didn't follow her. Mm. She stayed at the table with me while me and my wife were there. Mm. And my two sons were sitting mm-hmm. there too. Mm-hmm. They were eating mm-hmm. too. And she stayed there and she stayed conversating with me.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. awesome.
After.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, you know, I at first I felt like I kind of hit a wall. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, I got stonewalled, man, you know. But then after, like, God started showing me, like, look, she didn't walk away. Mm. She didn't feel awkward. She felt comfortable enough yeah. to stay and keep eating and keep talking.
Yeah.
You know, and I even told her, I wasn't like, it's not going to be drawn out. I kind of was telling her, I was like, you know, this is my last question and I'll just like leave you alone. You know, I was like, you could go, like, you know, because we had to take them back to school because they do like college classes stuff oh, like that
yeah.
too. So,
yeah.
you know, like they had to go back or it was banned or something like that that day. Yeah. So. So kind of like that burden was kind of just wanting to see like kids get ministered to. Mm. Like, you know, more and more nowadays you see teenagers mm. are getting like worse. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how it was when you guys were in school, but when I was in school, it was like, you know, I was supposed to be a 2000.
I'm the same age as you, so.
you know, like, I don't know. Like, so, I was supposed to graduate in 2000, so, I mean, we were like.
Hey, dude, I'm 93, so.
So, I don't know. I mean, I felt in a lot of times that, you know, kids had a different mindset.
Oh, yeah. It's mm-hmm. times have changed a lot, for
Man,
sure.
Man, like, you know, like, we thought different. We thought more grown up when we were younger, as far as I'm concerned. You know, at least that's the way it was when I was in school.
Like, I think, I think so. And I think I don't want to get too much onto that tangent, but yeah, there's benefits and some of that pressure maybe came across too hard and too strong. But now I think they don't have enough of it where they're maturing and growing up and becoming healthy adults soon enough. And it's kind of getting delayed into their 20s and 30s. And I'm like, that's not good either.
No, it's not. I believe like a lot of stuff is misogynistic. You know, I kind of feel like that. And you know, not to go off, but you know, I always tell my daughter, I was like, hey, if you're going to speak to a therapist, like, you better get something out of it. You know, and a lot of that in school too is like they're injecting a lot of that into school, like, you know, hey, you got this you know, I forget what it's called something, it's, I don't know, it's supposed to be like therapeutic or something for you know young people, which is not totally bad. But if there's no direction in it, of course, then it's just, you're just massaging feelings and then you're like, have a good day, you know, and then they're coming back again with the same problem. Mm. So you're not teaching them how to deal with it, you know, and I think like that's important.
Especially from a biblical background too. So
Yeah,
there's certain tools that they could be helpful, but then they actually could be very worldly based, and then it's like, well, man, that's not. It's helping them on one level, but probably hurting them on another level.
Yeah, probably more likely in the long run, though, is really what it is, because it's not rooted in anything.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, your story about your daughter's friend actually brought to mind something that was highlighted to me from Pastor Robert's sermon. Mm-hmm. Was he was talking about how in our language, knowledge is very functional. Right. And so he talks about it. Knowledge is information gathering. Right. But then in the biblical sense, that's not what knowledge is. Knowledge is more experiential. There's a lot more depth to what knowledge is. Right. It's not just knowing with our mind, but there's an experiential side. There's a just more to what knowledge is. And so like with your daughter's friend, right, she knew the right things in her head, but she hadn't experienced them. So there was some sort of disconnect, right, which is hindering her from really experiencing what God has for her. And so that was one of the things that I felt like was highlighted to me from Pastor Robert's message. And I actually heard it I was listening to something when I was driving over to the Freedom Center this morning, and the person was talking about the same thing. They said, you know, information gathering is not transformational, right? And so as a church, as people that are trying to lead others, if we're just trying to give them information, that's not going to transform their life, right? It's going to help. It's not going to hurt to give them more information, but we need to lead them to a fuller knowledge and not just information.
What did he call it? He called it the intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's so what he was saying.
He said the word was yada, right?
Yada, yeah. Yeah, so, that was great, man.
Right. So this intimate relationship with the Lord, not just the knowing about him, but this intimate relationship and experience of his presence and walking with him and being with him and being his child, that's what's actually going to transform us. Right. And so that's one of the things that I feel like is at the heart of our church is we're not just trying to tell you the right things, right? We're not just trying to give people the right information, which we do want that. But there's so much more to it than just that.
Yeah, because we don't want it to just be answers and thoughts. But I thought it was a good reminder of the different languages. Like the ancient languages had a level of depth that we don't have in ours. And when we just read a Bible in English, it does come across very transactional, very informational. And if you're doing that, it's like, oh yeah, I read the Bible and I got. And I'm raising my hand right now. You can't see me, but like I'm guilty of that. Just reading and I'm like, oh yeah, I got stuff out of it. I learned stuff about God, about his word. But was it transformational? Because did it have more depth to it? Was I able to soak in it and sit with it and ask the Lord, like, hey, what is it that you're trying to show me from this? And get that other layer versus our Western mind is, oh yeah, I got knowledge, I got information, and that's what I need. And so I think it's a good foundation, a good starting place to get the knowledge. But if it stays there, it's going to be like, is it in Hebrews about the babies, you know, having milk instead of meat, right? And it's like,
yeah, you eventually got to transition.
You're going to just stay. The information part will get you to a certain stage, but that's it. You're gonna just flatten out there.
And that's what I thought was really cool about what you were sharing earlier, Richard, is that, you know, your experience has been, when you leave, you're a different person, right? It's like there has been transformation because of the, not just the things that you're learning, but the things that you're experiencing at the same time.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's a lot. It is a lot, but it's wonderful because it's like God's showing me that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing me that it's okay. Like, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm ready to dive in. Like, you know what I mean? Like two hands and two feet. Like, you know, I don't know how my brother feels, but it's like, you know, I'm like, I'm so excited, like for the first time in like years, like I'm excited to come to God's house. Mm. I'm excited to receive what God has for me. Mm. I'm excited to come and hear what God has. Like, I want to go be with them.
Mm.
Like to me, like that's like, man, like I haven't like really wanted to do that in some time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was excited to see what God has for me, for my family, for my brother, for, you know, so like. It has been like that. It has been like that, you know, and I'm starting to see more and more that, like, you are in the right place that I put you.
Mm.
You know, you didn't find it. I gave it to you.
Mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah,
that's cool.
So, you know, like, and I'm like, more I look at it, you know, and I'm look, I go home and I look at my family, you know, and there's, you know, peace in my home. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because, like, we just moved to a new place, mm-hmm. you know, right after, like, starting to come mm-hmm. to Catalyst, like, we got a new place. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom, like, my brother got married, mm-hmm. you know, so, like, it's, everything's so brand new. It's mm-hmm. just, like, I was telling my mom the other day when she was here during the wedding, it wasn't so much the other day, but, you know, the last time she was here, she comes, she lives all the way up north, like, mm-hmm. towards Stockton, like, mm-hmm. in Stockton, a little bit past Stockton. But she lives all the way up there. She came down for the wedding and stuff like that when my brother got married. So, and she's like, you got a whole new life. She's like, man, God just, like, kind of just been pouring it out on you. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's neat, huh? You know, and, like, I got to just tell my mom that, you know, you get to see what God is doing in my life. Mm. She even got to come to service with us.
Yeah, I saw her that Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. Like, you know, and for us to see her, like, my mom, like, gave her life back to Christ, too. Mm. So, like, that's another part, like, for us, for her to be in her right mind, for her to come and see what God is doing. Mm. You know, so it's really neat to where God is starting to, you know, kind of just mold and shape and just, like, kind of just be with us during this whole time. Like, you know, we've kind of been going through things. So it's really neat.
It's cool.
I wasn't the one that said neat, Kyle. So that's another running joke that
we have. Yeah, we can tell you off air. Yeah. People have heard it a number of times. Yeah, that's good. Like, I know we'll have you back on because this is good, and there's a lot more we could do. I do, at some point in the future, I want to hear your thoughts on the person that you heard after Pastor Barry spoke, the first person you heard outside of his voice.
I think he's talking about Kyle. Himself. He's talking about himself.
I was, in my head, it was going to come across a lot more funny, and then I'm like, that came out really flat.
Oh, the just do it kind of guy. I remember. I'm telling you, man.
You have a good memory.
Man, that's God good. Is like, I'm telling you, God's talking to me, man. Like, he's not that's messing good. Around. I remember almost everything, like, you know? And it's almost like, because I'm used to always taking notes all the time. Mm-hmm. I have my Bible. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm really kind of just hands-on. Like, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm a visual learner, so I'm like always kind of just, you know, trying to engage and stuff like that. But it's like lately it's just been like kind of zoomed in, like I forget about, you know, taking notes, because now I'll just kind of just pull out my phone and I'll put it on, you know, I'll put it on Do Not Disturb, and then I'll go into my notes and I'll just start writing key things down, you know, and just trying to stay, you know, focused rather than, you know, just, you know, just taking notes and then going back and reading, you know. So it's like God is really speaking to my heart. So it's
something simple you just said. Put on Do Not Disturb. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people, I'll read my Bible on my phone, or I'll take notes, but then, yeah, you get no decision, and then you get distracted, and it's like, you shouldn't be using your phone then. So that's a simple guard right there. So
I'm telling
amen,
you, man.
Dude. That's good.
Yeah, for real, man. Well, mostly because it rings, okay? Oh. It just rings, okay? And then it's like, sometimes, like, because in the past, like, my brother used to always look at me because I was the head usher in my old church. So, like, you know, it was just like, dude, why is your phone going off during the service? Like, you know, so it was always like I'm looking for him to look at me. Like, my phone's like dinging, you know. So it's just like always just put it on Do Not Disturb. Yeah. So it's just like that's that good. Way, you know, you get the news broadcast, like going to the service. Like, and, you know,
yeah.
And I kind of just always feel like, you know, at least for myself, my opinion is. Like, I don't want to be distracted. Mm-hmm. Like, I want God to minister to her, because I do see a lot of people on their phones. You know, I don't, you know, so it's like, I'm used to that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, hey, man, have your Bible out. Like, you know, mm-hmm. are you distracted by the Word of God? Like, mm-hmm. you know, so. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Preach. Yes. Yeah, so. All right, well, we are kind of running up a little bit on time. So, Richard, is there anything that you'd like to share before we sign off? And like Kyle said, we will love to have you come back on in the future. But is there anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with before we end this episode?
Before I kind of came over here this morning, I was kind of, kind of praying and asking God, like, hey, like, you know, I wanted to be able to, you know, be on here and allow God to use me to minister to whoever would be listening, mm-hmm. you know. And I was reading this morning, and I was reading in Mark, and I was reading about the prodigal son, mm-hmm. you know, and we talked about, you know, that intimate mm-hmm. conversation that we're having, you know. And Jesus, when he told that parable about the prodigal son, you know, that was his whole engagement to the crowd that he was talking to. Mm-hmm. And he talked about this man who, you know, he went to his dad and he wanted his inheritance, right? And he takes off, right? He goes to a faraway land and he begins to, you know, squander all his, you know, all his money. Like, you know, he did what any young person would do. He was like, I got money and I'm going to go spend it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be independent, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, enjoy life, right?
Yeah, yeah. He did exactly that, you know, but he didn't account for the one thing that we as young people never really do. Mm. And that's for future events. What happened when he was out there in that country? A famine hit the land, mm-hmm. right? So if anybody would be listening today, you know, I would want them to think about the things that we don't normally think about, future events. And what account does God play in that? Mm-hmm. You know, because, yes, we can be consumed by entertainment. Yes, we can be consumed by whatever's in front of us. Mm-hmm. But that's the problem. Is that Christ came and died for us so that him can take care of all of those things without worry. Mm-hmm. You know, and yes, he came into being to want. And he found himself thinking about coming to his right mind. And he says, I'm going to go back to my father's house. And he says, I'm going to want to, he says, I'm not even worthy to be his son, but I'm going to be a servant. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm going to work in my dad's house just so they have more food that they can spare the servants, right? Mm-hmm. They're not even equal to who he is, mm-hmm. right? And we know we could get all into the whole, like, salvation. Mm-hmm. We could get into all that. But somebody who doesn't have a relationship with God, this is the heart that God has for us. Is God says, I want you to call on me. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, I'm going to answer you. Every time in my life that I have called upon God, he has answered me. Mm. When I was looking for a church, he answered me and he gave me a place to land. You know, no matter what has happened in my life, like, God has never disappointed me. Mm. I never said, I wish that God didn't do that. Mm. I never said that. Did I feel like that sometimes? Maybe. You know, I was like, man, this is not feeling good. But the outcome was so much more different. Mm. Than what we think. So if I would minister to anybody and tell them, like, hey, like, give God a chance mm-hmm. to do that in your life. Mm. Those circumstances that you might be in right now at this moment, it's only a moment. Mm. Call on God and I guarantee you he will answer you. God didn't go, well, what are you involved with right now? I think we can wait before you can come to your father's house. No, he was like, come. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to go. And he went. Yes, the need was great. Not saying that no need is great. But yours, the one that's listening, your need is great. Right now, at this moment, your need is great. So what I would say to you is call on God. Mm-hmm. And he hears those answers of repentance and of prayer. Ask him, and he will answer.
Yep. Yeah, and that prodigal son, like he waited until he couldn't wait any longer. He could have repented a lot earlier and not had to go through all that too. So
you know what? That's a good point. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. You know, and that's that intimate reaction. Mm-hmm. You know that God has with us, because what is the Father? He's the Father. Mm-hmm. You know, he's God's character. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter what he did. He was so happy that he was home.
Yep.
You know, he's going to rejoice over the one sinner that comes. You know, and that's Amen. God's heart.
Yep.
So that's what I would have to say, man.
Anyway. Awesome. You know?
I mean, that sounds like a great way to wrap up this episode. Well, yeah. So you know, thanks Richard for coming on. Like we said, you're always welcome. We'd love to have you back on in the future and maybe get a chance to hear a little bit more of your stories and a little bit get to know you even better. But you know, I just really appreciate you and your heart and your openness to come on and share about your life, your family, and how this experience has been for you the last few months coming to be a part of our church family. You know, you are part of our church family, so hopefully you and your family are experiencing that too.
Man, thanks.
I do have one quick question.
Go ahead.
Because this would be for people that might want to come on. Was it hard to do this? Was it painful? Was it scary as you thought it might be?
I was nervous.
I know. I'm sure you were. Everybody, I was like, everybody's man, always
my hands
nervous.
Are sweaty, like, you know, but no.
It's not that hard, right?
It actually was really comfortable. Like, yeah. I actually could have sat here a little bit longer. Like, yeah, it didn't even matter. Like, you know, that's what it's kind of cool because it is. It's a conversational type of ministry. You know,
I wanted to get that on recording because then it's me. If I'm doing the announcement up there, and I'm, hey, people always say it's not that hard. I think everybody comes in and have some nerves, so, which I get. So, but it's afterwards, they're like, oh yeah, that wasn't that hard. That wasn't a big deal. So
yeah, it's, all right. It's nice, man.
We're not cool. That scary.
Cool. It's not until you come your second time we ask the hard questions.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm like, I'm already ready. Like, man.
All right, well, thanks again, Richard. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.